Hello and welcome to another edition of The Ozone. I'm your host, retired sports information director and assistant athletic director Jeff Hazard from SUNY Oneonta. And today we have four very special guests joining us. We have Joe Reed, class of 2009, Eric Thies, class of 2009, Fred Romer, class of 2010, and Sean Daly, class of 2011. And together, these four former student athletes reached the pinnacle of success on track and field. At 2009 Indoor Track and Field Championships, they won the national title in the 4x4 relay. And so now, with that performance, we're getting around to putting them into our Athletic Hall of Fame. And it's going to be quite exciting on June 10th. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
First of all, my other job here, even though I'm retired, is I'm still the chair of the Hall of Fame committee. On behalf of the committee, we certainly want to extend congratulations to you, and we look forward to celebrating your accomplishment, here in about 7 weeks or so. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
I think really where I'd like to start is because of course, 2009, our track program was still really in its infancy. I mean, it started in 2003, really as a full varsity season, varsity team. And so there was a lot of growing pains and a lot of building. And certainly Joe and Eric, you came in together on the same class and kind of maybe were the beginning of the building blocks for maybe what happened here in 2009. So maybe I'd like to start with you, Joe, and just talk about, maybe the recruiting and I'll get to each one of you on why you chose Oneonta and, why you think you were able to accomplish what you accomplished. So, Joe, why don't you start?
I think that I had a handful of conversations with, Mike Schmidt was the head coach at the time and Matt was around. But I had, a handful of conversations with them through the recruiting process. And I was lucky enough to be recruited by a couple other schools. But they were the ones that kind of, I guess, just showed the most interest. And they came to, maybe like two or three of my meets, I was just kind of lucky that they were the ones that thought I was talented, I suppose. And then I decided to commit and come to Oneonta. I also was very interested in the music program at the time. I think that I met Eric pretty early on there when he kind of joined the team as well. But we were definitely a smaller team back then for sure, And so it was a little bit of a different environment, but you could definitely see the pieces sort of kind of coming together. In terms of what we were trying to build and where we thought we could go as a program. So it was pretty cool to kind of see everything come together towards the end there.
Right. And what about you, Eric?
I had the unconventional path. I graduated high school, average athlete, wanted to play baseball and decided to come to Oneonta. And actually that the fall I got there, I tried to walk on to the baseball team and didn't make it. And, kind of my past was in high school. It was like, well, when I wasn't playing baseball, I was doing indoor track. So I was like, well, I got to stay in shape. I got to do something. I want to try out for baseball the next year. So walked into the track, office there at the campus. And, Matt and Mike looked at me and was like, yeah, we got a couple weeks in the fall. Come on out. I guess at heart, I'm a pretty competitive person and got into it. Obviously, you don't necessarily get cut on the team, but you find your way. And I really took to the philosophy that Mike and Matt were creating, that culture they're creating. I just bought in. I mean, I remember multiple days and weeks where, Joe and I or other people in the team, we would just be hanging out in the office. And every once in a while, you get a bit of information from one of the coaches about some way you can get better. And then winter happened and spring happened. Then I still kind of had this baseball heart and tried again to play baseball in the fall. And I remember, folks like Adam Remillard, coming to me and be like, hey, like, I don't know what you're doing, but, you know, you're doing pretty well at track, and, you know, you probably shouldn't go this route, but, you know, I still kind of was stubborn to do it. And again, didn't, you know, the baseball coach said, hey, we could probably find a spot for you, but you're doing pretty well here on the track program. And, you know, maybe my hand was forced in the grand scheme of things a good way. And, you know, ended up not making the baseball team and then coming back and spending the rest of the time, you know, on with the track and field program. So a little bit different, but I'm glad it went the way it went.
Yeah. So how about you, Fred?
From what I remember, actually, I didn't go. I was drawn to Oneonta because of the music program, and I reached out to them, to Mike and to Matt. I filled out, there was like a questionnaire online, I remember, and I filled it out with your times and et cetera, et cetera. And I ran track in high school, and I was like, yeah, I want to run if I can. But I was really looking at Oneonta for the music program. And then I filled out the thing, and I, Matt, I think it was Matt or Mike called me. I can't remember who. And, they were like, yeah, do you want to come up for a visit? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come up, and like, you can come and do like an overnight. And I was like, all right, cool. And I remember talking to after the visit the next year when I showed up, I remember Joe telling me that like I showed up, I had like a beard in like when I was 17, and it would look like I was like Joe. I remember Joe saying like, I thought you were a 35-year-old man. And I hung out with Joe and Angelo and Mike DeVasto that weeknight. And like, they showed me around. Like, I think I went to practice, like we hung out. Mike showed me his rocks. Yeah. And then I was like, all right, cool. Like, these guys are cool. I feel good here. I really wanted to go to Oneonta anyway. And then I was like, it was almost like bonus. I was like, great, I can run. I loved track in high school. I was pretty good at it. And I was like, all right, cool. And it all kind of worked out. So I was like, this is where I'm going to go. And it made the decision pretty simple. But definitely like coming up and hanging out and getting to meet everybody, definitely sealed the deal. And then, yeah. And then the next year I was there looking more like 18 than 35, I think, at that time.
And how about you, Sean?
Yeah, it's funny, I hadn't thought about this, but similar to Joe and Fred, I wanted to do music, but I was looking around, and you can do education or performance, and this idea of like music business, music industry at Oneonta is pretty difficult to find. So that's what I was sorting for first. And I visited one or two other places, one of which shall remain unnamed, had a very terrible cross-country program. And so running was kind of secondary. I was all right. I wasn't, you know, capital G good. No one, not even Oneonta, recruited me. But I had gone to this running camp in the Adirondacks, like a summer thing, and Matt LaPiccolo and Mike Schmidt had gone up there. And I thought, man, these guys have a system. They have a structure. You know, this is it. This sounds great. I can do this one really rare thing I want to do. And then there's an awesome framework. And to go slightly outside the bounds of the question a little bit, the first interaction I remember having with Eric was in the dining hall. And it may have been preseason cross country, like that fall, or like right when the semester started. So I'm a freshman, and Eric comes up. I'd had like maybe one or two what I'll call semi-respectable races at the end of my high school career. And Eric kind of sidles up and he's like, yeah, Fred, you're fairly good at the 400. Why are you running cross country? Like, come do the track workouts this fall. And I was like, oh shoot, man. And at this point I'd met, you know, I love the cross country guys and kind of crossed over into some of the longer distance training. But I was like, man, I don't know. This dude's, I've heard of this guy. He's serious. This is, you know, I want to be serious. I don't know. What should I do here? So that's an interesting untaken path.
Yeah. So you have the, you know, four of you, you're all kind of in a different spot. I mean, Joe, certainly you were the short sprint guy, and you had pretty successful career in the short sprints as well, still hold some school records. And, you know, of course, Eric, you kind of honed in on the 400. And then, you know, Joe and Fred and Sean, you guys were kind of the 800 guys. But in order to be a good 800, you really have to run a a good 400. So a lot of your training, you know, kind of built into the other one. I mean, did you guys kind of come together? Did Matt put you together? Like, how did you guys kind of finally get up, you know, get going together?
If I can answer,
yeah,
I guess a lot of it was probably Matt, I guess, at the end of the day, putting us together. I will say, the year before we won, we went to nationals, and I think we finished like fourth or fifth or so. We were all American, right? I think.
Yeah, I think we were sixth.
Yeah, six, something like that. And that was with a different member. That was with a different athlete on the team. And so I think probably, not to speak for Eric or Fred, but I think the three of us sort of had the thought of, well, we need a stronger fourth, you know, and we could probably get over the hump a little bit. And Daly was running really, really well, especially the year that we won. He was showing some really great promise. So I think at one point, I think somebody, I'm going to say it was Eric, but somebody had approached Daly, I think, and talked to him about being on the 4x4. And I'll keep it PC, like, in for this interview. But I think it was very clear, like, hey, man, like, this is what we're trying to do. So if you want to, like, if you're going to be on this team, then, like, you know, you got to be with it.
Yeah. And I remember, because I was keeping it PC. Let's say I was upset because my freshman year, I wound up pulling the same hamstring twice, got a stress fracture, missed all of outdoor, essentially all of indoor after cross country. And so to see, you know, hey, here's this thing I want to be good at. These guys are clearly operating at a very high level. And shoot, you know, that could have been me in that fourth seat. I've got to, you know, work at it the next season. And I do recall, and I don't know if this was, you know, fully official or if maybe slightly pretextual, but there was like a run-in. There was a meet earlier in the season where the sort of implicit understanding was, all right, whoever is fastest in this race. So I did that. And then it was, yeah, it's from my perspective, it was just like, I was the, you know, I was there not to mess up, because I knew what everyone else could do. It's like, all right, yep, just don't mess up. Don't be the, I'm going to be the slowest leg, but don't be, you know, be as fast as you can in that spot.
Right.
I think the 4x4 was always, it was, you know, it's always seemed like it was the thing. Like, I mean, I guess as long as, you know, Joe and I had been there, we were running the 4x4, you know, at competitive meets, you know, started with a couple other members. Obviously our, you know, our first year we went with Adam Remillard.
Yeah.
You know, oh, that's right.
That was my freshman year. We went outdoors with Adam.
That's right.
Yeah. Just, we caught a bad storm. I remember it. Like, you know, it was all of a sudden it just got completely dark, and there were three heats, right? First heat went, ran, no problem. Second heat got completely dark. They ran, no problem. And as soon as we were getting ready to get on the track, it just dumped. And this was in, was it Wisconsin La Crosse?
Is that what Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Yeah.
And, you know, just, and, you know, they took winners and fast next times, and it was just pouring. I don't, you know, like, I don't think only one team made it out of the heat that first day. So, it was interesting to say the least, but it, you know, that first taste of, you know, going to nationals really. And then it was like, well, the 4x4 is going to be the thing every year now.
Yeah. Now, is it a, you know, so now the four is, are together and you're starting to, you know, look pretty good. I mean, you know, you win the ACACs, you win the SUNYAC, you got the fastest time in the country that year. I mean, is it all about chemistry and how you run together, or, you know, what's the motivation there?
Yeah, it was about getting Eric Thies the baton.
Yeah.
If I can speak honestly, I mean, it was get that man the baton. If you just get him the baton, we'll be fine.
Yep. Yeah.
I was always a team guy for me, like, you know, maybe that's why, you know, other team sports was always something I was passionate about. But, you know, for me personally, the relay was like more, I was more invested in that than maybe some of my individual races, just maybe emotionally.
Right.
And, you know, as a tough reminder, you know, I had the opportunity to go in and compete in the Open 400 at that Nationals and false started. So they would tell me, you know, those years I was very intense and probably a little more intense after that happened with the relay being the next day. So.
Right. I was just going to mention that just because I know that it really leads into this whole 4x4 thing. And, you know, you watching the video and you, I still watch it. So you guys, all right, I still watch it. And just you coming across the finish line and just kind of falling and, you know, Matt's over in the corner. He's up, you know, jumping up and down because he thinks we got it right because the fastest time or whatever. But so the day before you false start, I mean, because you were, again, you say intense. You were so in tune to that gun and the sound. And you jumped because you heard. And what was it? It was like a weight.
It was a hammer. It was a weight or a hammer. Yeah, weight.
Yeah, right? A weight in the neck. Like could have been across the field house and you just heard it and you. And that was it. It was unfortunate. So now you got to get him back reeled in because the next day you guys have got to run for glory, hopefully. So how did you guys approach that after that? Like what?
Like how do we approach Eric with like a 10-foot pole?
Yeah. how did you get him refocused on? Okay, we got a chance. We got a chance.
I don't know that Eric needed to be refocused.
He was on honestly. The warpath. Like that was it.
I think at that point, the three of us, again, this isn't to speak for the other guys, but I think the three of us at that, when that happened, we sort of maybe even, we may have talked to each other about it, but almost unspokenly, we sort of knew like, okay, we got to get it done for Eric, right? Like Eric, he's being very modest. Eric was going to win the national championship in the 400.
Right.
Just so we're yep. clear. Right. Like he was going to win the national championship. And so, you know, what happened to him was like wildly, unforgivingly unfortunate. Right. And so, again, I think the rest of us sort of knew like, OK, now we had a renewed sense of what we needed to do because it was like, OK, we got to get this done for Eric because Eric deserves it. Right. So.
I kind of waited, and I've never told anyone this, but that evening, there had been periodic calls for me to cut my hair, which, as I recall, it wasn't even that long at the time. But I kind of had in the back of my head, I was like, shoot, man, you know, if Eric's like down this evening, or if something's off, like I'm going to volunteer to get the clippers out to see if that, you know, like if we need that last ditch something to kind of hold it together, I'll throw that on the table. And fortunately, like Joe said, it was just the intensity was still there. It's like, oh, okay, we're good.
Yeah. You know, race day, you know what, you know, again, you guys, do you think it was a foregone conclusion that you guys were going to win? I mean, you had the fastest time in the country entering the meet. Everyone's looking at Oneana, even though nobody really knew who Oneana was. I mean, when you listen to the video, the guy doesn't even know how to pronounce Oneana. So, you know, how does that all play out? You know, did you think that it was just, we were going to do it?
I think we were pretty confident. To be honest, I felt we were pretty confident. You know, nothing's a foregone conclusion, but I felt like if we just did our job, I think that's kind of how we used to focus. Like I remember going every time we went to Nationals, I remember Matt and Mike specifically, you know, he wasn't there this time, but I remember like the first time we went and just, you know, and we used to talk to him anyway, but like basically like the hardest part was getting there.
Yeah.
And then like, once we got there, it was gravy. So like we knew we had a job. We knew what the job was. And we just had to do what we did the other times.
Right.
It's not like it wasn't anything monumental. We were just don't let the the glitter kind of like, you know, get in front of your face. Just do what you got to do. And that's kind of speaking for me. I don't know. That's how I remember it. Maybe I'm incorrect, but that's what I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for other meets too, you just call it a business trip.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Focus on that. Like, it's just, yeah, it's, you've done all the work, now just execute.
Right. And it seems like, you know, obviously knowing Matt and Mike and how competitive and serious they were about, you know, building this program on both sides, men and women, because at that time we also were rolling pretty well with the women, on the women's side, with some great performances and national title kind of thing. So like, what was that like training with them? Are there some stories, short stories, you know, nothing outrageous, but that you can share about some of your training and how they, you know, kept you focused, or did they really have to, you know what I mean? You guys knew what you had to do. You knew that you were talented, and you know, what was the coaching like?
Well, I guess I'll start it off from, you know, maybe Joe and I's first year. He'll probably vividly remember and maybe know what I'm referencing, but maybe they, you know, they were great coaches and set the tone. But like we talked a few weeks ago, like the women's program at the time set the tone for the whole program, you know, they were great, and they were great because they were intense women in a great way. But it was, you know, kind of the equation, right? Like, you know, you can coach, but you know, the intensity comes a lot part with the individual and motivating those people. And then it was really a trickle down effect. You know, I specifically remember being at the front of campus, as you come into campus, there's the long hill all the way up before you take that turn. And our first year, you know, went up to the track. They said practice wasn't at the track. It was down that way. And, we get down there, and Ashley Robertson was there finishing the workout, who is a tough individual, you know, intensity, motivated, competitive. And she looked like, you know, she was taking her last breath. And I remember us looking at each other and be like, oh no, like what's about to happen? And we were just doing, I believe it was a 400 meter run or 300 meter run, like hill sprint up from like
300 meters, I think.
Yeah, from like the stop sign, the entrance of campus, up to, you know, up to that turn. It was a full sprint up the sidewalk. And it was like, you know, those types of workouts was really kind of, I think, you know, I don't know. Look, I guess looking back, and maybe Joe as a coach now can speak on it, that it was really more experimental, you know, but at the time, like, you know, Mike specifically, because we were on the sprint side, was pretty methodical about trying new things, finding, you know, doing a lot of research and, you know, finding the best way and just kind of going with it and being like, hey, like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So that, you know, at the time it was, you know, we're just going to do what we're told to do, whether we want to or not. But, you know, like looking back on it there, you know, there was a lot of trial and error in finding different programs, and it continued to change every year.
Right. Ashley and Musu still refer to those workouts, those hills. I'm sure they were intense. So anyone else about, you know, the coaching and how the, you know, because again, you know, Joe, you're a coach now at Vassar, and although, and you also coach Division I athletes at West Point Army. So how do you think that, you know, the training you did and how you think that might have influenced kind of the way you do things?
It definitely influenced me. I think Eric makes a great point. I think one of the biggest things I took away personally from Mike specifically and his coaching was that he was always researching and trying to learn what the best ways to go about things were. And he was always trying to challenge himself as a coach to get better. And so I think when you're around a coach like that and you have that understanding that, it wasn't always, this is how we've always done it, so this is what we're going to do. When you know that you're around somebody who's constantly reading and researching and going to clinics and trying to get better every day, when you see that as an athlete, it definitely inspires you from an athletic standpoint, because you're like, okay, well, I got to try to challenge myself to be as good as I can be every day, because this person is doing the same thing. And, coaching now, hopefully that's the message that you sort of relay to the athletes is like, look, like, you know, I'm challenging myself as a coach, so you should challenge yourself as an athlete. And I think that's really what, at the end of the day, Mike probably pulled out of all of us was just the thought of like, you know, challenging yourself. And as Sean and Fred said earlier, you know, just like, go do your job. This is, you know, these were business trips. We had jobs to go do, and we just had to go do those things and find a way to get it done. And so, yeah, I mean, that was my biggest takeaway. And again, like, the reality was, as Eric said, the women really were the catalyst, at least our first year, right? Like, that women's team really was, they were the standard, you know? And so you did not want to, I don't know, you didn't want to like embarrass yourself around Ashley or around Musu or around Mo. You didn't want to embarrass yourself, you know, and you didn't want them to see you sweat. That's how they really were that intense, you know? But it was good at the end of the day. I think it really set the tone for us when, like, our first year, and then just kind of going through the program for the next 4 years of what the tone really was. And I think that was sort of the culture moving forward, right? Was like, look, this is, we all have a job to do. We're all here because we're trying to get better. Let's continue to be in the pursuit of like excellence to the best of our ability, and don't whine about it, you right. know, so.
No whining. I know Mike and Matt were definitely not up for that.
I mean, I know Fred and Sean can probably speak, but both 800 runners and very different training. You know, Fred was spending more time training with me. I don't know Fred would
do it
cross country.
Fortin Park.
Yeah, I was a little bit of a weird one because traditionally, like, I feel like my, you know, 800 was really my event. Like, I remember Mike and Matt, but I was like, I don't run cross country, so that's not happening. Like, just it's not gonna happen. Like, sorry. Because I played soccer in high school in the fall, and I was like, I'm not gonna run more than a mile. And they were like, okay. And they were like, came up with some, and that was funny about Mike and Matt. They came up with like this Frankenstein trial and error kind of training program. And I would do most of my sprint workouts with Eric. And then a couple days a week, I would do something by myself. And then on the weekends, I mean, especially my freshman year and my sophomore year, I would do like long runs on like Sundays after meets with the distance squad. And I was all over the place. I remember Mike and Matt really like tailored the training to me being not usually what fits into the box that they were used to, like it, their 800 runner box.
Right.
Cause I wouldn't run like the mile or the 1,000 meters or the whatever. Also, like, usually, like, I feel like traditionally often from what I remember, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm out of it so long, but like, your mile guys would be running your 800s, and like your 55 meters to like 400 meters, like that was kind of like the two clear divisional separations. And then I kind of didn't really jive in either of those. But Mike and Matt really took the time to like figure out, be like, okay, like, let's work with this. And they really took the time to like try and figure something out, and something worked somewhere along the way. You know, so that was great.
Yeah. And so, Sean, you said early on in your career, you know, you had some injuries, you had to overcome your stress fracture. That's not something you just recover from right away. So for you, how do you think that, you know, the training for you to get you back to where you could compete at that level?
Yeah. Eric gave me a lifting plan. And that's what I was doing. I was like, I went home for the summer. I was going to the local rec center in the pool. If I never have to aqua jog another day in my life, I'll be all right.
Absolutely.
And I was lifting, it was still relatively light, but I was lifting heavy weight, probably the heaviest I've ever lifted. To kind of come at Fred's point from a little different perspective, historically, there have been two camps of 800 runners. It's like, you're the 400, 800 guy, or you're a fantastic 800, 15 or 800 miler. I feel like I was always, you know, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I want to be that great distance runner. I want to be that great miler, that great cross country person. It's like, you know, you're chasing the thing you want to do. It's like, oh shit. You know, I think I still have the school record in 600.
Yeah.
Like, it turns out that's where, like, I'm not, you know, fully top end at the 400. The 800 is pretty good, but you should really be focusing in another place. So, like, I was thinking about it. And I think, you know, Fred, we overlapped on training, like, for some workouts for a couple of years, but it was just to go back to the point of, like, how specifically tailored it all was. Like, I was, you know, kind of easy days I'd do distance guys, and then Fred and I would get together for some more speed oriented workouts, but it was just, yeah, highly, highly specific and just tailored to exactly like what worked. And Matt could tell that over seasons as I would like perpetually get injured and, you know, okay, do this, don't do that, and just get it really, really dialed in after a couple of years.
Right. To try and so that what you could handle.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't get injured. Yeah. Well, that's good coaching. That's, you know, I mean, Matt and Mike, definitely, like you said, they researched, they read, they went to the camps. I mean, we were blessed to have them both here at the same time. And then, you know, followed by Angelo and Joe, right? Joe is with us as an assistant coach. And so the history and the success has been incredible. So we have four individuals. We have Eric, who's in professional baseball. We have Joe, who's coaching at the collegiate level. We have Sean, who's a lawyer, and we have Fred, who's a school teacher. So quite different professions.
I'm not a school teacher. No,
not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Oh, that's right. Electrician.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Yes. Okay. So you went from high school teacher to being an electrician. So again, four different paths. How do you think your Oneonta education maybe set you up for all this success?
Joe, you're the leadoff leg.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. Good point, Sean. I did not, it's interesting being a coach now because that was not my ideal path, I guess. That was not the path that I had sort of thought I was gonna pursue. But again, I think I've been very lucky in my personal life. I had good high school coaches, and we've been singing, you know, Matt and Mike's praise this whole interview and talking about how good coaches they were. So it almost, looking back on it now, it was a very natural progression, I think, for me to get into coaching, because I've just been around good coaches essentially my entire life. And, you know, I'm passionate about being competitive, and the four of us were definitely highly competitive, and we were pushing each other constantly. And I don't know what I would, without being in that environment today, I would probably be very, very bored. And so I think, you know, maybe not the Oneonta education specifically, but the education I got from being around Matt and Mike and being around these guys and being around the team and that culture, and just learning about how to push yourself in different ways and not being afraid to try new things and experiment and, you know, really figure out what your path really needs to be in order for you to find some happiness. That's what I took away. So, yeah, I think, you know, I consider myself to be very lucky to have gone to Oneonta at the time that I did, to kind of be around these guys and be around Matt and Mike. So it was very, very lucky.
Would like the next take that.
Are we going in like leg order? Cause then
yeah,
go
yeah, you should go second.
I would say that, you know, it's funny cause in my current career right now, it's like, I didn't even need, well, maybe not. But like, I would say that overall, it wasn't the best part, I guess, I took out of Oneonta to serve me further, like, you know, as I am now, was the education was great. But more so it was the, it was like the interpersonal, like relationships and the way in which I learned how to deal, maybe deal's not the right word, but I learned how to like communicate and effectively work with all different kinds of people. And that means like being in a team environment in on the track team, and also being involved in the music program, dealing with musicians and athletes. They're like completely different mindsets of people sometimes. So it's like, I guess like that was one of the, probably the biggest takeaway was like really just like learning how to work with people to achieve something, just like full stop, positive or, you know, or whether it was, you know, competitive or not. That was probably the best part that, Oneonta allowed me the opportunity to do, was that, cliche way, just like teamwork and learning how to work with people. That's the best part, I guess.
Sean?
Yeah. This goes back, and it's been touched on already, but just, you know, the exposure to excellence, like to systems. It's one of those cliche things I feel like you get hit with as an athlete a lot. Oh, you know, what makes you so wonderful and special about being an athlete? And then thinking about after college, and okay, what are you going to do? I went straight to law school, but, you know, looking around at jobs and, you know, oh, athletes are great. And sometimes you're struggling to articulate, like, am I that great? How so? And then in my current career, I've seen it, you know, super high stress, a lot of hours. And it's funny, but a lot of the skills I developed through just, you know, like having a system, the importance of like working together as a team. And I've seen, I mean, entire, not to name names, but like certain law firms or groups are known for having poor cultures. And I do think it comes down to a lot of people just don't know how to handle that. Like, you know, the stress of going into a competition, like the idea of, you know, it's funny that like Matt and Mike, I don't recall Mike saying this, I recall Matt saying it, but, you know, like, oh, this being a business trip. And I just laugh sometimes now, because it's like, oh, we were saying that, like, oh, this is the business trip. And then it turns out some of the business people can't handle their own shit. And just that importance of, you know, if you have the routine, you have the rigor, that process. I think about a lot of things in terms of like process versus results. Like having the process is what leads to good results.
Right.
You know, you can never guarantee a good result. Something can always pop up, but yeah, I think it was just that really the respect for like having a system, and then being exposed. You have to be exposed to something to know how you can improve, right? Like, I'm the youngest person on this call. I came in, I'd heard about it, I'd seen what these guys had all done, you know, in the relays, everyone on this call. And I'm the only person on this call, I think, that didn't wind up going to NCAAs in an individual capacity. So, you know, it's like that compounding, right? Like, everyone being really good at what they do, being able to bring that to just, you know, elevate the entire team. And for the younger guys on the call, like, there were a couple of years, I don't think we went to nationals in 4x4 kind of immediately after my time, but then there's a whole next generation that went back and again just like wiped the floor with people, and in part because they had seen what came before.
Right.
Yeah, I think for me, it came down to like support, I guess, me coming in. Like, I graduated high school, went to community college, really hadn't found my way, hadn't found, like, you know, you find your people, your culture, right? And here it is, you know, you can look at it as the four of us and, you know, our group, and then it goes out to the team, you know, as a whole, and just even the years that we were all there and the individuals that impacted us, you know, that's not here on this screen. And, you know, to the whole department, to the training staff who was going to nationals or going to ECAC meets with us and, you know, letting us, you know, sit in the ice bath for an hour or hang out in the training room when we need to get taped, to, you know, to administration, to you, Jeff, and the support you gave us, and to the school, you know, and outside of the track team, each one of us can say we have another group of friends or individuals that impacted us with our time there, to, you know, us spending hours upon hours eating at the dining hall, you know, like, and knowing the lunch lady at the dining hall, you know. So it was really a great support system in I guess my time at Oneonta. And I think as I've now gone into professional world, like, that's what I've looked for, is I've been lucky enough to find multiple businesses that have a great support system, you know, because that's I guess, what I look for. So it really kind of set the tone and really for me, you know, set the standard of, well, what do I want to look for, you know? And, you know, when I learned and found my way at Oneonta and through the track program of what I want in life, that was beyond the track and learning from everybody, you know, that it was more than just running, you know, that's what I look for now is, you know, what culture do I want to be a part of?
Well, we certainly
to go back real quick and just tie that back to a point that Joe made. I think something universal that you can look for in any aspect of life is, am I, or are the people with whom I'm working or whatever it is, focused on continuous improvement? Because I'll leave it at that. Joe put it better, but that's like key. You know, if anyone's like later listening to this thinking, man, I need some advice today, that's the nugget.
Right. And I was just gonna say that you guys, you know, again, in the early stages of the track program, you know, early infancy, you know, I think the things that you all accomplished, you know, as a group, as a team, you know, people think individual sport, but the 4x4, like you said, you have to all be doing your job and doing your best for the team. Like that's the team sport within track and field, really, is the relays and how that all is accomplished.
And it was many meets. Sorry to cut you off, Jeff. Like, I remember being at like Suniacs and, you know, Matt and Mike counting points. So even on our individual races, it was like, okay, like we have to perform to get X amount of points, you know? And there was always that kind of thought process behind it as well. So, you know, even though we all had individual, I feel like we were cognizant of, hey, where we place, how many points, and moving up the ranks, you know?
Yep. And certainly the standard that you four individuals set and still continue to set, you know, is really the model and the foundation of what is going on, you know, after you. You know, I mean, you know, we had other national champions, you know, your Sean Bernsteins and your Pat Weinerts and all those, you know, men and women, you know, came through after you guys, but they were all trying to beat you guys. Like they were trying to, we got to beat these guys. We got to be better than them. So like you say, you set a higher standard, continuous improvement. You know, if you don't want to get better, why bother? Right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And certainly the four of you have done that and more. So certainly, again, I want to congratulate you on your honor. And it's going to be great to see you all on June 10th and celebrate the four of you together and kind of just say congratulations. And yeah, Oneonta appreciates everything that you did for them and continue to do as alumni. I mean, I know that you're all still making us proud. So so I want to thank you all for being here today and spending the time. And we'll see you just about 7 weeks or so. So
thanks, Jeff.
Great. Thank you.
All right. No problem. All right. I will just pause here. And I'd like to thank you for joining us again on the Ozone.